You know, that is a great song, and that is going to be what the sermon's about this morning. I want to go back, though, and talk about Sunday school. We moved down, the high school class moved down to this end of the room in the kitchen, and I got to hear some of the adult Sunday school class this morning. And it is extremely important that we all know what we believe and that we can explain what we believe and that we really believe what we believe. And that may sound silly, but sometimes we say things and we don't really understand the full impact of what we're saying, the full truth of what we're saying. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today. It blended in with the sermon topic. Great is thy faithfulness is the topic for today. And we're talking about God's faithfulness. You know, this is one of the most awesome attributes of God. He's got lots of attributes, but faithfulness is one of them. And you just sing that song I hope you read the words as you sang. It's just amazing. We can look back at history and we can see all the times that God was faithful. You know, He was faithful to bring His people out of Egypt. He was faithful to shut the mouths of the lions when Daniel was in the lion's den. He's been faithful to Israel. We're seeing on Sunday nights in Revelation that He's still being faithful to Israel, and He will be faithful to Israel in the future. So the Bible tells us just point blank over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful." So let's look back at that. Let us hold fast. That means let's keep it. The confession of our hope without wavering. That means without tottering, without going back and forth, without doubting. This is one of those foundational truths that we have to recognize and the Bible wants us to believe. For He who promised is faithful. You go back through the Old Testament, and Joshua was doing this. You know, he had taken over from Moses, and he had a period of reflection. And he looked back, and in Joshua 21:45, listen to what he said. This is just him looking back over everything that he knew, all of his time with Moses. He said, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. You know, we pass over scripture like that because that's not really exciting, but it really is if you think about it. Not a single promise that God made to the house of Israel has ever failed. And you know what? We can now look back. We've got the rest of the Old Testament. We've got the New Testament. We can say this. Not a single one of the promises that God made anywhere in His Word has ever failed. Not a single one. So when God promises you things like, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," how long is He going to be with you? Always, right? When He promises you, "Nobody can take you out of my hand once you are a child of mine," is anybody going to be able to take you out of His hand? No. So we need to really understand how faithful God is. And to do that, I want to show you a couple of scriptures today. We're going to start in the book of Lamentations. It's in the Old Testament, written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, and he had a lot of stuff to weep about. He had prophesied for 40 years that Jerusalem was going to fall, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and nobody cared. It's kind of like today, prophesying about God's return, prophesying about coming judgment. Nobody cares. And then it happened, and he saw it all happen. And you know what? Knowing it was going to happen didn't really help him that much. He still had to deal with the sorrow. And the book Lamentations actually means dismay. It's kind of like stunned shock. And he was in stunned shock at the destruction of Jerusalem. The walls came down. The people were killed. The people were taken away. The temple was destroyed. Jeremiah is a witness to all of this, and still nobody cared. And he's just stunned that nobody really gives a darn about what's happening. Nobody cared enough to turn back to the ways of God. Nobody turned back to God to avoid the judgment. So here it comes. And if you'll turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to read verses 18 to 26. And you're just going to see kind of what he was going through. And then you're going to see a change that came over him when he did something. And this is where we're really going to get into God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 18. Stand with me, if you will, and let's read this. Jeremiah writes, "And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Though the Lord's mercy, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." You may be seated. And you can kind of see what's going on in Jeremiah's life here. In verses 18 through 20, he's talking about the pits of despair that he's in, this the basis for this stunned silence. He says, look, my strength and my hope were gone. Anybody ever been there? Amen. I mean, we've all been there. You know, if you've not been there, and you live long enough, you're going to be there. And this is going to help you get through it. And he's going to see, like in verse 21, you're going to see that he changes because he brings something else to his mind. And we want to capture today, we want to capture what changed Jeremiah's outlook. We want to understand how Jeremiah could look at all that had happened, this destruction, and just still have faith in God. You know, we may not see literal walls of Jerusalem tumbling down. I mean, we saw the flood recently. Walls did come tumbling down. But you think about where our society's headed. I mean, we see crime. We see immorality. We see all kinds of things going on all the time. And we just pray that God would awaken us again, that God would come and change the way the world is. You know, I don't know what news you guys watch, but every Monday morning, the feed I get says, this many were killed in Lori Lightfoot, Chicago. And it's usually some ridiculous number. You know, back when I first moved back to Nashville in 1988, maybe there was a murder every week, maybe two. You know, now literally every day when I look at that feed before I get on the road to work, there's been a shooting, there's been something. The world is getting worse, and we know this. And we know what the Lord is going to do in the future. We know the judgment that's coming. And just like Jeremiah, we look around and we don't see people giving a hoot. And that's kind of hard to deal with. It shouldn't be surprising because that's what God told us would happen. But it's still kind of hard to deal with. So we want to capture this message of triumph, because this is a message of triumph that he preaches today. We want to capture his message and capture the way that we can lean on God's faithfulness when things are going really, really bad. Because a lot of times that's all we've got to lean on, but it is all we need to lean on. So we're going to go through this. We're going to get four truths out of this scripture. So if you're following along in your bulletin, let me grab that. The first one, first point I want to make is that the Lord is faithful no matter how blank the circumstances. The lesson for today is you can fill in that blank yourself. What word do you want to put in there? How bad the circumstances? How dire the circumstances? How horrible the circumstances? How hard they are? Put in whatever word you want, and you know what? It will be true. God is faithful no matter what the circumstances. You know, look back at what Jeremiah was talking about in verses 18 and 20. He's telling us his strength had gone. I mean, imagine this prophet. He has prophesied for 40 years, and he sees the walls of his beloved city come tumbling down. He sees people murdered. He sees people dying. He's lost everything. He was afflicted. He was homeless. Verse 18 and 19 tell us that he was sick, like he was poisoned with wormwood. That was a poison that happened back then. His soul was sinking. He is in the depths of despair, looking around and not understanding, still in shock. Even though God told him this was going to happen, he is still in shock over what happened. And you know what he doesn't do? Y'all ever say, "Oh, it's really not bothering me"? He doesn't do that. That doesn't do any good, by the way. If you try to deny the problem that you're having or deny the pain that's going on in your life, God knows it's there. You got to get past it. You have to acknowledge it. To get past it, you have to acknowledge it and turn to God. But he didn't do that. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm okay. I'm good. Thanks for asking, but I'm good." What he did was recognized God's faithfulness. Look at verse 21. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." He's just like the prodigal son. You guys remember that parable. Prodigal son has gone off and he's wasted all of the money he got from his dad on prostitutes and riotous living. And he's feeding pigs. Now, for a Jewish boy to be feeding pigs, that's about the worst thing that could ever happen, right? Because they didn't eat that. They didn't want to be around the swine. So he's out there and he actually says, "Gosh, I would just love to have a little bit of what these pigs are eating." But then, Luke 15, verse 17, he came to himself and listened to what he said when he came to himself. "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" So he starts thinking about the characteristics of his father. And then what happens? He's able to get his strength back up. He's able to return to his father. And we know the rest of that story. His father threw him a huge party, killed the fatted calf, put new clothes on him, welcomed him back home completely. That's what Jeremiah is doing. Jeremiah is turning back to the Father. He's thinking back, what is it about my Father that is going to give me hope, verse 21? What is it that he recalled? And he tells us beginning in verse 22. So he says that the Lord is faithful in showing mercy and compassion. Just like the song we sang, verse 22, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not." So the Lord is faithful, and He's faithful to show us mercy and compassion. Mercy, we know what that means. Mercy means it's kindness, it's goodness, and love. And I want y'all to turn back to Psalm 136, because this is about the best explanation, or exposition, I guess is a better word, of God's mercy that's in the Bible. And we're just going to walk through this. And I'm going to ask you a question at the end of these verses, but I want you guys to read it with me. Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Let me ask you this. 26 times, how long does God's mercy endure? Forever, that's right. So if God has mercy towards you, is it ever going to go away? No, good, right. It's not ever going to go away. It endures forever. It lasts forever. And you look back at those examples of what God did, it's protecting his people. He gave us food. He gave us wisdom. He gave us knowledge. He rescued us from our enemies. He remembered us in our lowly state. He does all of this for us, and he does it forever. So we need to understand that he is faithful, and remember, he is faithful to show mercy forever. What about that next word? What about compassion? His compassions, back in Lamentations 3:22, his compassions fail not. What does compassion mean? It's a little bit different than mercy. It actually means from the womb. So it's talking about the affection that a mother has towards a child from her own womb. Does that make sense to you? God actually looks at us as a mother looks upon her own children and has the affection that a mother has. Look at the way the mothers are looking at their babies in here. And I mean, that's kind of cool. Think about that. That's the way God looks at us. Did y'all know that? It's not just kind of a, oh, hey, they're down there, they're doing good. It's a loving, connected affection. And that's really what it's called. Sometimes it's called tender affection. It may be translated that way. So God understands this, and he is faithful. Now, how often are God's tender affections toward his children going to fail? None, right? That's what the Bible says. And when we talk about what we believe, look, if the Bible says it, it's true. You know, there's a bumper sticker that goes around and says, the Bible says it, comma, I believe it, comma, therefore it's true. Uh-uh. The Bible says it, therefore it's true. People cannot believe the Bible doesn't change the fact that it is true. And you need to approach the Bible as you're reading it, and it is God's Word. It is what God has given to us, this love letter, showing his faithfulness, showing his mercy, showing his compassion, and he's given it to us so that we can be strong and not faint. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the coming weeks, but that's why he's given it to us. So, point number one, the Lord is faithful no matter how, whatever you want to put in there, the circumstances, no matter how dark they are, no matter how bad they are. Number two, the Lord is faithful in showing mercy and compassion. And number three, the Lord is faithful to all who wait and hope in him. If you look at Lamentations, you'll see that in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Verse 26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So we are to wait and to hope in him. And you know that waiting patiently, waiting comfortably, you have to have hope, right? Because if you don't have any hope, it's not easy to wait, right? You guys understand that? Otherwise, you're going to be running around trying to do things yourself, trying to fix things yourself, and it's not going to work. So the Lord is faithful to those who wait on him, to those who put their hope in him. And then finally, we're going to look at five circumstances where the Lord is particularly faithful, because one of these circumstances will probably apply to everybody in this room. First, the Lord's faithfulness will be shown to His children when we are discouraged. When we are discouraged. Do you hear the discouragement in Jeremiah's voice? I mean, imagine they had Facebook back then. Hey, Jeremiah, what's going on? Oh, it's been awful. You wouldn't believe it. Just like I've been saying for 40 years, nobody was listening to me, but I told them that King Nebuchadnezzar came in, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed my house. We don't have any food. We can't drink the water because it makes us sick. We're being all taken out to some other country. We're being dispossessed. It's just awful. You hear the despair in that? And that's really what he's saying. He says it in Old English terms as it's translated, but that's what he's saying. He said, this is all that's happened, and I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. But is God faithful when we are discouraged and depressed? Yes, He is. And what does that help you? It should help you. Because God being faithful to you means that He's going to do things that help you. He's going to be with you through the discouragement. He's going to be with you through the depression. It doesn't mean that He's going to pop you right out of that right off the bat, right? It means He's going to be with you through it. And that makes us rely on Him more and more and trust in His faithfulness. Because there's coming a time in our lives, if you haven't been there yet, you will, where your belief in His faithfulness is going to be tested. And that is something that we have to know. God is always with us. I'm going to talk about a couple of those things in a second. But God is always with us, no matter how discouraged we are, no matter how depressed we are. He's going to be with us. He's going to be with us, secondly, when we doubt or question our salvation. You know, you look back at all the Bible stories, and God is faithful even when all of those people who were supposed to be believing in Him were not faithful. Right? Was God faithful to Peter? Oh, yeah. Peter denied Jesus. Was God faithful to Moses when Moses disobeyed and whacked the rock? Yes. God is always faithful. And He's faithful when we doubt salvation, when we question our salvation. Here's some verses. I think I gave you all these. 1 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself. If we are faithless, understand what that means. If we lose all of our faith, the circumstances hit us in such a way that we have just been undercut. We got no faith left. He is still faithful to us. It's because of who He is. He can't deny Himself, and He is faithful, and He's promised us that He will be faithful forever. His mercies will endure forever. His compassions will never fail to His children. So when we feel like He's disappeared, He hasn't. When we think, gosh, I can't go on anymore. I don't have any faith anymore. He is still faithful. John 10:28 says, and I give them eternal life that they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. All right? When God says it, it's done. And we need to understand that. Sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes we feel like, oh man, how could God love me? Anybody ever feel like that? Okay? You know, you feel like that a lot of times when you commit a sin. When you do something you knew God says don't do. But you know what? God's already told you and promised you that He loves you and that nothing, no created thing, can snatch them out of His hand. So you're safe in His hands. You know, we call it once saved, always saved. But it's more than that. When God takes possession of you, think about it like this. If the God of the universe has taken possession of you and claimed you as His and He's put His hands around you and in you, what in the world or what in the universe is going to be able to pry that apart? Nothing. So think about it like that. Nothing's going to be able to get us out of his hands once we're in. And then this from 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And that word know there, that you may know, it means you may perfectly know. It doesn't say feel, by the way. It says you may know. You may perfectly know that you have eternal life. That's how faithful he is. This whole book is written to us so that we may know how he works, that we may know how he operates, and that we may know he has given us eternal life. This was the plan from Genesis, actually before Genesis. And he is faithful to keep that plan. You know, while we're talking about Genesis, you know, he promised the snake in Genesis chapter 3 that his offspring was going to bruise his head, didn't he? That is a prediction of the Messiah from the very first time that man sinned. And sure enough, thousands of years later, here comes Jesus. And what does he do? He dies on the cross, bruises Satan's head. There's coming a time when he is going to squash Satan. Amen? It's happening. So we see God's faithfulness when we're discouraged. We see it when we doubt our salvation. We see it when we're tempted to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So when you're tempted, does that mean you're going to have to sin? No, it doesn't. When that donut comes in front of me, it does not mean I have to eat it, right? And it gets much worse than that. When God says, look, I know your temptation, but I am going to be faithful to you even when you're being tempted, and I will give you a way to escape that temptation each and every time. Now, what do we have to do? We've got the obligation to take that way out, right? But God is faithful to give us that way of that way of avoiding and escaping temptation. And then 4, God is faithful when we have just made a mess of our lives. It's about the only way you can say that. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So it doesn't matter when you're a child of God what your sin was, he is faithful to forgive it. And you know, it says faithful and just. You know why it's just that he forgives it at this point? Because our sin debt has been paid in full by the death of Jesus Christ. If God were to demand anything else from us other than the blood of his Son, that wouldn't be just, because he's promised us that is the blood of his Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So he is faithful and just to apply that forgiveness no matter how much we've messed up. That doesn't mean all the time that we get out of the consequences of sin, but it means from God's perspective we are forgiven of that sin. And that's something that we really need to take too, because a lot of times we'll feel guilty. And guilty is good, because guilty can be conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict us of a particular sin, and that is designed to drive us to confess to God the sin. But you know what? When we confess it, when we give it to Him, we may have to deal with the circumstances, but we need to quit beating ourselves up about it. Do you know who forgave us? Jesus Christ. You know why? Because His blood was shed for us. That's the way that we're supposed to live. We are supposed to live as triumphant Christians, triumphing over sin because God is faithful. So in short, the fifth one, He is faithful to forgive us all the time. There's not a single circumstance you can think of. There's not a situation that's bad enough where God will abandon you if you are a child of His. It just can't happen. because God has sworn by Himself, and there is no greater, that He will be faithful to His children. So think about the worst thing. Nope, God's going to be faithful. Is God going to be faithful to forgive me if I did this? Yes, He is. Is God going to stand by me if I do this? Yes, He will. God is faithful to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But if you've probably caught this, there is one requirement for all of these blessings, and that is that we be children of God. So if you are not a child of God, God's position towards you is not this loving affection. God's position towards you as not being a child of God is that you are the object of His wrath because you are a sinner. We were all sinners. And we have all been, those of us who have accepted Christ have become the apple of God's eye, not because of any work we did, not because of anything we did. It's because Jesus came into our lives, and when God looks at us, He sees His Son. So I want to offer you today the opportunity, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day to move from being the object of God's wrath to the apple of God's eye. It is a day to move from wondering what your life is going to be like, from wondering whether you can deal with all these tough times, to being assured that God will be faithful to you through every circumstance. If you've not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is the day to do it. If you have, and you have times of trouble, like we all have, look, Jeremiah, I mean, you look, Jeremiah was definitely a man of God. Nobody would ever question that. And look at all the problems he had. But you know how he got himself picked back up? He didn't say, "Ooh, I'm going to think positively and I'm going to be my own man." That is not what he said. He said, "I am going to remember the faithfulness of God." So if you've been in that trap where you've been looking around, you've been thinking like the world thinks, get out of it. Remember God. Come back to God and let Him show you His faithfulness. And when He does that, He will restore whatever discouraging situation you're in. It may take a while, but God will lead you through it. He will be with you through every circumstance, and you will come out on the other side thanking Him because you can now look back and remember what He did for you particularly, not just what He did for these Bible characters. So as we open our invitation this morning, if you need to do something in response to the Word, I pray that you do it this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. You know, people fail us all the time. People are hard to understand. They're not consistent. But Lord, You're just so different. We know that. It's so awesome that You have promised that for Your children, You will never leave us nor forsake us, that Your mercies will never fail us. They will endure forever. Your compassion towards us, Your tender affection towards us will never fail. Lord, we just thank You for that. It makes us feel good, Lord. I know it does, but we thank You for the knowledge that it imparts too, that we may perfectly know that we are Your children and that we are saved and that we have eternal life with You. Lord, if there's any response that needs to be made today, whether they come forward or they make it right where they sit, Lord, I just pray You work in their hearts, guide them and direct them in all ways so that they may be honoring to You. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen.